the Hicks house today for lunch. Thank you for having us over. You're a great host, and we appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians tonight. As we were doing a lot of duct work this week at camp, I learn something new every day I'm working at camp. And it's one of those things, Brother Don, right? If we don't know what we're doing, we'll just pretend like we do. We'll fake it, and we'll figure it out. And then I can, whenever the bosses come through, I just say, and they say, "What? Who did this?" It was Brother Don. I always have someone to blame, and it's great. I really appreciate it. It's bad when we got Don, John, Todd, you know, all the same names. It gets confusing sometimes. So, but I did learn something this week, and Brother Matt gave me the illustrious job of wrapping duct work in insulation. I thought that was the most glorifying job ever. He made it sound so great, so exciting. And then I find out later that only like the apprentice do that job, the slave laborers. I'm up there and all of a sudden I suck in a piece of insulation and I'm I'm coughing and Isaiah's looking at me like, "What's wrong with you?" I mean, he didn't call for help. He didn't call 911. "Dad, he's dying up here." It was, "Hey, Dad, throw me up another donut." You know, that was it. I could have died and Isaiah would have been still up there singing and eating donuts. But I've been lied to my whole life, and I want to set this record straight. I've been lied to my whole life. You know, they always say if a man only needs two tools in his toolbox. If something's not working, you need, or if something's not moving, you need WD-40. If it's moving and it shouldn't be moving, what do you need? Duct tape. That's right. Duct tape is good for everything, right? Wrong. I'm on the lift and I'm wrapping insulation in this aluminum tape. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm using aluminum tape on duct work. I yelled down, I said, "Brother Matt, where do we use duct tape in this industry?" He goes, "We don't." "We don't? It's called duct tape. It's good for everything but duct work." I mean, where's the logic in that? I don't get it. But that's what I learned this week from Brother Matt and Brother Chris, the other HVAC guy that was there. So I'm going along with it. I didn't know that, but that's something new I learned this week. I'm sure he's got a lot of other things to teach me this week. But we have a great time over there. We make work fun, and we sure have a lot of it. Work that is not fun. I mean, we're working. Preacher Gomez asked to make sure I get that record straight, you know, that I'm over there working. We do have a great big task. We're about finishing. We're getting closer each day to finishing our big dining room building, which is 10,000 square foot building and done with a lot of volunteer labor. And it's just huge task, but we're getting close to finishing. And I appreciate your prayers for that. And thank you for those that have helped and prayed and given towards that. As we approach summer again, please, if you're able to help in any facet, in any area, as we get ready for summer, when the weather breaks, we'll start cleaning buildings, opening up buildings, doing things like that, and we'll have to feed work crews coming in, and we'll also be staffing the kitchen, which will not be in a garage this year. Hallelujah. It'll be in a nice, brand-new dining room and commercial kitchen, and we're excited about that. And if you can give any time and maybe even give maybe a day a week, we would appreciate that. Or maybe you want to quit your job and live by faith and come out with me. I would be glad for that too. No. But anything you could do, if you could do something on a regular basis that we could depend on, that would be helpful. But even if it's hit or miss here and there and you're able to do something, we greatly appreciate all that your church has done in the past and what you can do in the future. We've got a new camp week that we combined this year with a junior. We had a junior week every year, which was 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. But a lot of churches were asking about a junior teen week together for churches that are coming from a further distance that they could bring everyone at one time. And so we opened that up, and that filled up, and totally filled up. So we're excited about that and new opportunities that God's bringing our way on. I'll work throughout this week. And then on Friday morning, I start driving down to Texas. And Sunday morning I'm in a church, and then Sunday night, Wednesday, and on for about 2 weeks there, working my way back up through the state, stop in a church in Illinois, then in a youth conference in Illinois, and then in the beginning of May, or March, hopefully not May, March, I'm back at the camp. So I'm gone for about two and a half weeks. So if you pray for our safety as we travel to present the camp, and then things also to get done around here as we are away, that'd be great. We'd be grateful for that. But so a lot of irons in the fire, if you will, and a lot of things going on. But we're excited what God's doing at the camp. Amen. And please also be in prayer as we for the sale of Cedar River Baptist Camp. We still have not sold that property, but we would pray that it would sell. We have a party that's interested in buying it, but nothing solid has transpired yet concerning that. But we'd like to see that happen here in the near future to help us take those assets and put them into the new camp and be able to pay that down a lot. So we're starting another big capital fundraiser, raising a campaign out of our church to help pay down the mortgage, get that cleared out. And a lot of people are coming excited this year for camp. So please keep us in your prayers. We have been working 6 days a week, getting things ready and excited about this year. Well, I got a letter in the mail the other day from your pastor, just as a general invite to pastors in the area, letting us know about your missions conference coming up. Then we also see it in the bulletin. Last week, at our own home church, at Northwest Ohio Baptist Church, we held our own missions conference. And Pastor Bob Smith came from Texas, and he's the one that was influential in seeing our pastor saved. He came and preached, did a great job. We had several missionaries there at our church. We did that last week, and I understand that your church is on the heels of doing your missions conference here in just a couple weeks here. And Pastor Angel will do a phenomenal job. I'm still going to be in Texas. I looked at those dates right away and was excited about coming to your special meeting, and found out I'm still in Texas during that time. And then Brother Tharp. And how many of you have heard Pastor Angel? He's come and preached here before? Okay. And then Pastor Tharp, do you know him as well? He's come and preached as well? Okay. All right. So you're familiar with them. Great. Two great preachers, and they both, their ministries support the camp, and love hearing them preach. Been in both of their missions conferences before. They have a great heart for missions, and it'll be exciting to hear what they have to say about missions. But being that we're on the end of our missions conference and you're starting yours, I felt that it would be a good opportunity just to preach a little bit about missions, and me being one of your home missions projects, and just kind of challenge us once again, kind of get us thinking already for that missions conference coming up, and what we can do concerning world missions. And we take our passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm not sure if I said that already. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 here, 1 through 8, and I'm going to kind of interject some things along the way for us to understand the full story that's going on here in 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, okay? Before we start, let me explain what we're going to read about. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth, okay, and he's telling them of a good example of another church in Macedonia and what they did for missions, okay? So if you want to, get that straight, because when you read it, you got to kind of scratch your head and read it a couple times to really understand who we're talking about here, because they use pronouns they and he and them, and you're like, okay, who are we talking about? But Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, giving them an example of this Macedonian church that is helping this church in Jerusalem. So we're talking about three different locations here. It's as if Pastor Angel comes and he preaches and he says, I wanted to tell you about Brother Tharp's church and how what they've done for missions. And I want you to use that as an example, church here in Amboy, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to see a great example in the title of the message is Macedonia, the Mission-Minded Church. Macedonia, the Mission-Minded Church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read our scripture. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for all that came this morning, and I pray, Lord, you just meet with us in a great way tonight. As we talk about the heartbeat, your heartbeat, getting the gospel out to the world, and we do that through missions, and one of the emphasis, Lord, and I pray that you please work in our hearts tonight. If there be some way we could do more, I pray that we'd be willing to do that, Lord. Please bless in the message tonight. In your name pray. Amen. Verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the gospel, of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. That word wit, to know, to make aware of. He said, I want you to be aware of what the Macedonians are doing and the example that they are. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Okay, so we understand from this verse that they were under a great trial of affliction. Okay, a great trial of affliction. They didn't have much. They were poor. Yet we see that they were joyful. They didn't have much, but yet they were still had this joy about them. And a lot of times people say, "Oh, that person has money, so they must be happy." Well, that's not always true. And these people were poor. We see the word poverty, that their poverty abounded, yet the riches of their liberality, they were giving to this mission cause, this other church. And because of that, they found joy. We read on. For to their power I bear ye record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Okay? Their power. They had the power to give. They give their tithe. God always gives us power to do that, the ability to do that. But beyond their power kind of speaks of missions, kind of speaks of an extra offering, something more. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith, in utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What Paul is saying here is, he said, you abound in this area of faith and utterance, and you're excellent in knowledge, and you're diligent and things like this. And I want you to you've excelled in all these areas, but I want you to excel in this grace also. What is this grace? Grace giving. This grace giving we're talking about. I want you to use this example that we see in the Macedonians. I want these people in Corinth to do the same. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And we'll stop reading there, and we'll address some other verses here in just a minute. But I love missions conference when we have that at our church. We do it once a year, and to me, it's a very important time of the year, because it's like a business meeting of our church. What our church is going to do for the cause of missions. How we are going to fulfill the Great Commission. And that commission is given to each and every church, every body of believers, but more importantly, to each and every one of us individually. Obviously, we can't go to every part of the world. We can't speak every language. And we have a greater ability, these days with technology and transportation and translating by devices we have to be able to speak to someone else. Yet, even with all those different things we have, it's impossible for us to reach every known part of the world ourselves. So, how do we do that? By giving in our local church to the cause of missions. And it's an exciting time of year for me. I love when we do our missions conference at our church. And the church in Corinth was made aware of this church in Macedonia and was challenged that they would give to the cause of other churches. we'll see what they gave to. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Turn to Romans chapter 15. We'll see exactly that they did give to this church in Jerusalem. Romans chapter 15, and if you look at verse number 25 and 26, Romans 15, 25 and 26. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them, verse 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. So we see that that Macedonian church did take up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem, and that's what they were giving to, and Paul brought that to them. Each individual Christian has a responsibility to carry that great commission to the world. What a responsibility. You know, in this day and time, people do not like responsibility. They don't like to sign a contract for a phone. They don't want to be tied down. We have this movement where people want to live in a glorified RV and travel across the country, and it's just kind of something I wasn't around in the 70s, but people lived in vans in the 70s. And why? They didn't want to be tied down anywhere. They just wanted to freelance and travel around and pick up a little side job here. People don't want responsibility. They don't want to, but we have been given a great responsibility. It's a great task. It's a bigger task than any one of us can do on our own. But let me also say it's a great honor that God would choose us to fulfill the Great Commission. Think about it. We have technology like a radio. Why can't we just push a button, send airwaves, and let that do the job for us? And don't get me wrong, we support missionaries who use radios, and we want to be able to use every piece of equipment we can to reach the gospel to the known world. But there's something special about you taking your testimony and saying, hey, look, Garrett, this is what God did through me. This is who I used to be before God saved me. And seeing a changed life, it's much, much more personal, and this is the way God intended, than for a robot to say, trust Christ as your Savior, be saved today. You get it? God wants each and every one of us to use our mouths to be a mouthpiece. We can't just give and not use our mouth to tell. We need to do both. We can't buy off our duty by just giving. What we need to tell also. So we see this great task, but just how can this be accomplished? If we dive into this passage of Scripture, we'll see some things that help us today that made it possible for this great example to benefit the church in Corinth, to benefit your church tonight. Number one, faith promise giving and giving to missions must start with a willing heart and mind. It must start with a willing heart and mind. Look at verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were what? Willing of themselves. They were willing of themselves. Look at verse number 12. For if there be first a what? Willing mind, it is accepted according to that what a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The key is that we must start with a willing mind. A person attempting to do anything must have a drive within them. I can, if a person wants to lose weight, they're not going to start with a diet. They got to start with a will to do something about that. Someone who wants to get out of debt must have a desire first to do that. A person attempting to succeed in business must start with a desire and then a plan. I've been working on a small book I'm writing on prayer. There are hundreds of books on prayer, okay? So I look at these and I'm thinking to myself, why are there so many books on, there are all these books on prayer. It tells you how to pray. I'm working on one myself, but what good, it's not any good to anyone. I can give it to you, but if you don't have a desire to want to pray, it's not really going to do you any good. And that's what these people had. They had the desire to help these poor Christians in Jerusalem. And they took up a collection and sent it with the missionary to give and help these people into Jerusalem. God blessed them because of their sacrificial spirit. Number one, it must start with a willing heart. Number two, mission giving, faith promise giving, goes beyond our ability. It goes beyond our ability. Look at verse number 1 and 2 again. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in their great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. These people were poor. They didn't have much. They could have used that as an excuse. We don't have much, so we're off the hook. We don't have to give anything. No, according to these verses, that's not true at all. And you and I in America, we don't know anything about poverty. Think about it. I mean, I'm not going to try to send you to a third world country and say we need to live like that, but we have been blessed. We have been blessed. We have much more, and if you don't stop and thank God for that every day, then maybe God should take it away from you and give it to someone else who would appreciate it. But we have been blessed with so much. And these people, even in their affliction, I dare say it would probably be much worse than what we would consider poverty stricken in America. They even gave of their little bit to the Lord, and even today we're still talking about that. These people faced a great trial of affliction, yet they still gave. And it seems like it says that it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were liberated when they gave, and it was almost like they gave their way out of poverty. That doesn't make sense, Brother Todd. They gave their way out of poverty? Well, the Bible does say, give and it shall be given unto you. One of those strange paradoxes in the Word of God that doesn't make sense to humanity. No, Brother Todd, I need to save to get. No, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. And we see that they were liberated by giving. Faith promise and mission giving must start with a willing heart. Is your heart willing tonight? Are you willing to do? If God would speak to you in the next few weeks about doing a little more for missions, would you be open to that when Pastor Angel comes, when Pastor Tharp comes? If God impresses on your heart to give or to go, would you be willing to surrender? Number three, mission giving proves our love. Mission giving proves our love. Look at verse number eight. Let's look at number eight. Verse number eight. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Speaking the word "I love you" means nothing if it's not followed up by action. It's got to be followed up with action, whether it's a husband-wife relationship or parent-child relationship, pastor, congregation, whatever it is. We can say we love the lost, but if you're not giving, if you're not praying, if you're not going, if you're not witnessing, you don't love the lost. You don't. And we ought to follow up our action, our words with action. It was proof that they did care about those missionaries or that other church in Jerusalem. All those poor people in Jerusalem. Someone ought to do something about that. All right, let's go about our day. No, they took it upon themselves and realized there was a responsibility that they had to help that church stay alive, keep their doors open, that others may be won to the Lord in that city of Jerusalem. And they gave. Faith, love requires action. If you love me, the Bible says, keep my commandments. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. When we disobey those commandments, we're showing that we don't truly love the Lord. Faith, promise, giving, and mission giving proves our love for the Lord, to fulfill what's nearest and dearest to His heart, that area of the gospel being spread, and it proves our love for the lost world. Can I say also, number four, mission giving involves a promise. It involves a promise. Look at verse 9. Here, we kind of switch gears a little bit because we give an example of the Lord who was rich in much, yet became poor for our sakes and gave Himself. Let's read. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. He said, I want you to come through on your promise, that as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also of that which ye have. He said, you were willing and there was a readiness a year ago, but I need you to perform that task. I need you to come through on that commitment. I came through and asked for this need to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. You saw the need and you wanted to give, but now it's time to give. We need that commitment fulfilled. How many times have you been in a missions conference or a missionary comes by and you see a presentation? Your heart is moved by what that work is doing in a foreign land, the churches that are getting built, the orphanages, the people that are saved. Your heart is moved. And as soon as the video ends, the service is over, we go about our life and we forget about what we had seen. And that's what was happening to this church. He said, you know, I knew you were moved and you were ready to give, but now let's come through on this commitment. A commitment, and your church will no doubt, after the missions conference is over, take up a commitment, and your pastor will encourage you to maybe up your mission commitment, up your time of prayer for missionaries, whatever the case may be. But writing that down, don't be afraid of that commitment card. Don't be afraid to write that down. Don't be afraid to commit to that. That's what's going to help keep you engaged with that missionary long after he's gone, long after you've seen his presentation or heard him preach up here. Don't be afraid to commit to that. That is our job and our responsibility. My heart has been stirred many times by watching a presentation, but a lot of times out of sight, what? Out of mind, and we forget about them. And these missionaries need us to continue faithfully holding the ropes here in the States so they can do that work in foreign lands. I remember when I was probably, 10 or 11 years old, I'd been to missions conferences, but God began speaking to my heart about giving on a regular weekly basis. 10 or 11 years old, I don't have a full-time job. I don't have any steady income. I mowed some lawns during the summer, but I'm sitting there thinking, I was probably sitting on the front row if I remember right, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can do this during the summertime because I have these lawns that I mow. But then winter's going to come around and I don't have any money. How am I going to do this? I thought, you know what? I could probably do $1 a week. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking all through missions conference, and this is big for me. I'm a little kid. I don't have much. And it seemed like as we got closer to the end, God said, you know what? You could do $2 a week. Whoa! Oh my goodness, that scared me to death. I couldn't. That might as well be $1 million. Well, I put it down, and I remember that year I didn't miss a single week of giving that $2 a week to missions. That following missions conference came along, and I'm ready to put down my $2. I had the confidence to do it this year. I know I can do this. You know what God did? He stretched my faith a little more. He pulled on me and said, you know what, you can do more than that. And if that first year, I gave $2 a week all the way through that year. The second year came to $4, and I doubled it again. And, I mean, that just blew my mind again. But God's going to stretch you and wants you to stretch your faith. And God, and then the devil's also going to sit next to you and give you every excuse in the book of why you can't. Well, I got school coming up and I'm doing this and I know I need to get a new car this year and this is getting in and if anyone's getting married around here, I don't know if that would apply to anybody, but I'm getting married this year and you know I'm having a baby and the excuses are going to fly off the and these people were really poor, yet they gave, and we don't have an excuse at all. We have a great responsibility and a great task. And they made that promise. They make that commitment. The world needs us. The world needs hope. The world needs a lifeline. The world needs aid. When great catastrophes happen, they need daily provisions. God has blessed our country to be able to help others through things like Red Cross. But more than all of that, the world needs the gospel. The world needs the gospel more than any of those things. We can take care of their water needs and their food and give them an education, but that's not going to really help them if we don't get them the gospel. Here's a simple illustration and a simple equation of what God wants us to do to be able to reach the world. You say, Brother Todd, this is overwhelming. There are 6 billion people. I can't do that. I can only give a little. What can my little bit do each week? And this is God's plan. We know that there are three parts to this equation. All right? I'm going to make this really simple, and this will stick with us. We have the message. This message, the message of the gospel, needs to get everywhere. Right? We have this message. Then, and God chose to do it through this area of missions. Through a missionary. So we have the equation reads like this. The message plus the missionary. And then there's a third part of this equation, and it's money. Message, the missionary, and money are going to get the Great Commission out to the world. You can't take any part of that equation out. These missionaries don't flash a badge at the airport. I'm missionary, free ride on the airplane. It doesn't work like that. I know Keith and Jamie Putnam, you support them. I read their letter on the way in. I think it's this Wednesday they leave for Brazil. This Wednesday they're leaving, if I'm not mistaken. This Wednesday or next? Is it this Wednesday? I believe it's this Wednesday. They completed their deputation. They got to send a shipping container over. They got to ship all this stuff. The airlines aren't doing it for free. The hard reality is missionaries need money to get this message out. It takes finances, and you can't take any part of that equation out. And if you're not willing to give, you better be willing to go. If you're not willing to go, you better be willing to give. But make sure it's what God wants. And we take our money and we put it into that offering plate. That's not going to, yes, that's going to a missionary, but that's going into God's economy. That's going into God's economy. And I've made investments at times, and some of them have been good, some of them have been bad. And I wish I could say all of them were good, and I made good on all of my investments, but it's not true. But God's economy, you put it into God's economy, God promises His word will not return unto Him void. You know what that means? That money is put into God. Well, I know a missionary who just lazy and they don't really work. No, we're putting it into God's economy. And don't think of it as an individual missionary, although we do screen the missionaries and we want to put them into a good investment. But that's going into God's economy. And God says, look at the next chapter, what God says about giving. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's up to you. If you want to sow, or if you want to reap little, then give little. If you want to reap a lot, then give a lot. And that's just a simple plan that God has put in His Word. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Oh, Brother Todd's talking about money tonight. It's going to come up in a couple weeks. We're talking about give. No, not grudgingly. Or of necessity. Oh, if I don't know, if someone's twisting my arm, I feel like it's always talking. No, that's not the attitude we should have. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all things abound towards you. What a great promise. He didn't leave us high and dry. He gave us a recipe, and He gave us a promise, and He gave us a reward for giving, that He'd make it all things abound. I don't miss the money I give into missions. I never miss it. It's one of the best investments we make. It is the best investment because we're giving to the cause of Christ. We're giving to an area that's going to help spread the gospel. And we got to take those three parts of that recipe. The message, we've got it. Why should we hear it again and again and again and again when there's a world out there who hasn't heard it for the first time? So we have a responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And God has given us the message. He's given us money. Oh, I don't have much. We live in America. We have money. We have to some degree. And God wants us to just give that the message can go out to those missions, to those projects. And you read about them on the wall out there, and we're giving towards them. There are two things that we can do with money. We can invest it, or we can spend it. What are you doing with it? Are you investing in the cause of Christ, or are you spending it? And both are important. Both are necessary. But I just want to challenge you with that. I heard this said before, and this is not original to me, but offering envelopes are a deposit slip into heaven's bank. Think about that. That really put it in a great light for me when I heard that statement. Listen to this. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and money, but you can serve God with money. You can serve God with money. Look at Romans chapter 1. If you turn to Romans chapter 1. This passage of Scripture was brought out last week in our missions conference. Romans chapter 1. Verse number 14. Paul writes, I am debtor both... Romans chapter 1 verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And I wrote in this passage of Scripture, you know, financially right now, I don't owe anybody anything. And it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to be at that point. And that should be something that everyone should try to achieve to do in time when God allow them to. And work towards that. And I wrote in my Bible right here, I don't owe anybody anything, but I owe everybody everything. What do you mean by that, Brother Todd? Well, financially, I don't owe anybody anything, but I owe everybody. I owe my preacher who proclaimed the gospel to me. I owe my teachers, my parents, what they have put into me. Too much is given, much is required. And I owe the lost world an opportunity to hear the gospel. That's what Paul is saying here, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as I am, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And Brother Smith preached on this last week. And he preached on the three I ams of Paul. He said, I am a debtor, I am ready to preach, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That was his message. What a powerful message it was. And you know what? It's a good feeling to be debt-free and not owe anyone anything. But think about it. We owe everybody the ability to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was saying here. Each generation, God calls enough people to reach that generation and supplies enough resources to do so. God's called enough, there's enough missionaries in the world. Whether they answer the call is one thing, but God has also provided enough resources within the people of the church that aren't going to be able to get those missionaries out there, to be able to spread the gospel to every dark corner of the world. Your money will get missionaries to the field, but your prayers are going to keep them there. They get lonely out on the mission field. And it was talked about last week at our mission conference. It was emphasized how lonely they get sometimes and how they just wish to hear from home and how a quick email would be an encouragement to them. Your mission money's going to get them there. Oh, I've done my job. No, let's continue by being a support to them, by praying for them. You wouldn't believe the stories that take place and the near-death experiences that they face on a daily basis. They're not going to write about that all the time in their newsletter. Woe is me, I almost got kidnapped again this week, and it's so hard. And if they're really a true mission, they're going to try to look at the bright side of things, the good side of things. But know down deep, when they just highlight a little bit of something, trial that they're facing, there's probably five or six other things that they didn't mention. Know how much they need your prayers. And so very important. This responsibility of the Great Commission falls and rests on every single Christian in this room. I'm not just talking to the adults, but even to the young kids. And in time, God will speak to your heart about either going or about either giving. And I want you to keep an open heart, no matter how young, how old you are. May this church here, be like that model church of Macedonia back in their day. We need more model churches today. Let's not only say, you know what, that missionary church in Macedonia, they were good at giving. And that's the only example we have through history until when? Let's let this church be another model church that others can look to and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. A congregation of 40, 50, 60, but wow, do they love missions? Do they give to missions? Do they reach the world? They're just an amazing church. You know what that's going to take? Each and every one of us praying and saying, God, what would you have me to do? The gospel is going to get out by the message. We got the message. Missionaries and money. And either you're going to be giving or you're going to be going. What has God impressed upon your heart? Do you know, when that question comes in a couple weeks, when Pastor Fritz stands up here and says, what are you going to do for missions this year? What are you going to give? You're going to ask yourself these questions. What do I want to give to missions? In our human state that we are, what do we want to give to missions? Nothing. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Nothing. We're more interested in our own well-being. Just humanly speaking, what do we want to give to missions? Nothing. Okay, let's take a step forward. What could we give to missions? What can I afford to give to missions? Okay, Brother Todd, I guess I could give X amount of dollars a week. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. So you've asked yourself, what do I want to give? What can I afford to give? And you know why we call it Faith Promise Missions? You know why we call it that? Because we encourage to give by faith. Now you need to ask yourself, by faith, what would I allow God to give through me? Oh, Brother Todd, I didn't want to ask that question. Because what I can afford to give is one number, but what I can do by faith, what can I trust God to do through me, is the question you should ask. And that number, each of those numbers should grow a little bit. I just want to challenge you tonight. Pray that prayer the next couple of weeks. God, what do you want me to do for missions? Are you speaking to my heart about going? Or are you speaking to my heart about giving a little bit more? I'll be honest with you. We started our missions conference last Sunday night. I walked into church and I said, I'm giving the same amount this year that I gave last year. Because that's what I don't want. I don't want to grow anymore. I'm tired of being stretched like Gumby in my spiritual faith. I'm done. And I walked in and I said, I'm not giving any more this year than I did last year. I'm just going to do the same amount. God, you know how much I'm doing at the camp and I'm doing this. And blah, blah, blah. What am I doing? I'm just negotiating with God, arguing with God. And you know what? You got to have an open heart. And God spoke to my heart and we did increase that. And I encourage you to do the same. It's always something we need to keep in focus. It's not always something that's in front of us. Our daily, the tasks of the day and the demands of life are what pull at us. And missions is not necessarily something that pulls at us. But it's the heartbeat of God. And what's the heartbeat of God should be our greatest desire and our first desire. I want you to ask yourself, what am I going to do this year for missions? Can I do a little bit more? Can I give a little more? What am I willing to do? Where would you have me in your great plan of reaching the world for the gospel? We got this group in Macedonia who had nothing, yet they gave and God blessed them for it. Let that be us. May that be a challenge to every one of us. Are you saved and you know it tonight? Well, praise the Lord. What are you doing to tell someone else about that good news of the gospel that has reached your house, that has reached your heart? Let it reach somewhere else. Let's pray.